Please be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. It is hard to believe that Ash Wednesday is only 3.5 weeks away, and I won't even tell you how many days to Christmas. Yet here we are, Jesus calling us to prepare ourselves and get ready for the walk through Lent, repent and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus calls us to turn to God in preparation for our time of repenting and turning to God prior to the cross of Good Friday and the celebration of Easter Sunday. In short, the lectionary this week is taking a belt and braces approach. When we hear the word repent, we often think of that kind of crazy character in the street with a cardboard sign screaming repent, usually shaking a bell. The end of the world is nigh. Or maybe this morning we think more of Jonah walking through the streets of Nineveh, proclaiming 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah was a foreigner in a foreign land preaching about a God that the people did not know. We might have expected that the king and his people would react violently towards the prophet, or at best laugh at him, throw a few tomatoes, and then throw him out of the city walls. But instead, we hear the complete opposite. This morning's scripture is also full of symbolic numbers. Jonah, as I've mentioned in the past, is probably my favorite prophet because upon being called to a task by God, he simply ran away. Many of you know that he tried to escape his calling before he took it up, sailing away out of Tarshish. And what happened? The boat ran into a dreadful storm, and knowing that it was because God was angry with him, Jonah says, "Chuck me overboard," and the Lord provided a fish to swallow him. Gross. Jonah then spent 3 days in the belly of this fish, which is disgusting. But while in there, he had a change of heart. I bet he did. And was vomited back onto the shoreline, ready now to do his prophetic duty and probably smelling terrible. Now, the 3 days in the belly of the fish, some would say, is meant to resonate with us in terms of the transformation and rebirth that we hear about at Easter as Jesus conquers death after spending 3 days in the tomb before rising again from the dead. Jonah proclaims, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That magic number, 40. 40 days in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted by the devil. 40 days of Lent that we will spend fasting as we journey with Jesus through that similar discipline. And the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness that the Israelites had before entering the promised land. We hear 40 and we think of a time of fasting and repentance. We hear a signpost for Lent. What is the purpose of these 40 days of fasting? What is repentance and how do we do it? Well, we have to know what we're turning away from in order to get rid of it and be able to turn to God. So perhaps it's good that we have the double belt and braces approach of preparation before we hit Ash Wednesday, so that when we get there, we know exactly what we're supposed to be turning away from, what we need to let go of. After all, we all benefit from and take parts in systems that oppress others. We are all beneficiaries of colonialism sitting here this morning. And there are so many structures of injustice that we are part of, many of which we're not even aware of, that we need to take the time to think about, identify, and get ahead of before we hit Lent in order to turn away from them and plan our fast to do Lent well. Now back to Nineveh. Nineveh was located in Assyria, and the Assyrians were known for being brutal conquerors. God sees their ways, plans to overthrow them. They were not God's chosen people. In fact, in 721 BC, they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and took everybody off into exile. However, after they proclaim a fast and a period of mourning, or perhaps a repentance of their ways, God thinks better of it. Does that mean that they then became a better neighbor to Israel? Does anything change after they receive the prophet's words? Well, we have no idea because it's not written down. But history would suggest that probably not. What we do know is that through this action of fasting and mourning, or repenting, the people of Nineveh were spared God's wrath. There is a strong message of inclusivity here. And Jonah witnesses it firsthand and then goes off in a huff, very angry that God does not destroy the city anyway. And we can learn from this that our period of fasting in Lent is not as simple as giving up a treat for 40 days to be pious. It's about a real change. Unlike Nineveh, it matters that our fast sticks, that real transformation happens for us while we are in the belly of the fish of Lent. It matters that it brings us closer to God, and it matters that we are angry at the injustices around us, at the systems that we are part of, and that we remove ourselves from them. What happened next? Well, as I said, Jonah has gone off in a huff. He slumps down. He's very hot. He's not doing too well. Sunstroke is perhaps setting in. And what happens next is that he gets a humbling lesson in compassion from God when a bush is provided to give him some shade. Now, does he ever get the point? To the people of the city? Who knows? It's not written down. What we see, however, is that God is merciful, even to those who are brutal. God hears and listens to the people of the city, presumably knowing that nothing in the long term was going to change. But perhaps, maybe for some, it did. And that leaves us wondering, well, if no real change happens, then what's the point? And that's the point. The point is, real change is supposed to happen. Maybe it wasn't the people, but Jonah who needed the lesson. Maybe God did all of this just for Jonah. Maybe he was the one who needed to return to God. After all, let's look at it. He full out ran away when God called. The opposite, in fact, of what we hear the first disciples did. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So does this mean that Jonah was a bad guy? Was he not a good repenter? Was he bad at being in relationship with God? No, he was just another human, unfortunate enough to be swallowed by a fish. If we look at Simon Peter, for example, who's often held up as the sort of disciple, certainly the one that the Roman Catholic Church is sort of built upon, today we hear that he followed Jesus immediately. And then in Mark 8, he goes from strength to strength. He proclaims Jesus as Messiah, but inside the same chapter rejects the idea of him as a suffering servant. Mark 9, he witnesses the transfiguration on the mountaintop, but doesn't want to leave, suggesting a booth building project, missing the point entirely. Mark 14, he denies Jesus. Mark 15, he misses the death and resurrection of his friend and teacher. And yet, despite these failings, we know that Jesus forgave him because we have the story of John 21. So it sounds like Jonah was a lot like Peter and a lot like you and I, imperfectly human. I think that while the text says that God changes God's mind, God was always going to give the people of Nineveh a second chance when they turned to him. And I think Jonah was probably just a guy who needed a second chance too. Just like Peter, and just like us, which is what we get every day walking this way with Jesus. In short, our God is the God of second chances. And that's why we need these seasons of preparation and repentance where we make a point of looking at the stuff that we've collected, the stuff that clings to us, the spiritual garbage, some stuff we don't even realize is there. But it weighs us down and it gets in the way of turning to God every day. Jonah and Peter and the people of Nineveh, they all show us that God loves us enough to keep calling, to keep forgiving, and to keep wanting us to return. God will work through us and even use the people around us that we don't like or that we consider to be the worst of us to teach us about that love. God will even make a fish swallow you if God has to. God is our belt and braces. We are safe with God, safe enough to figure out what we need to turn away from so that we can turn to God confident in God's forgiveness and take God's strength to embrace God's justice and lasting change. Amen.